together and celebrate you this morning. For that, Lord. We're just seeing other people again and we think, okay, this is what's going on in their life, and we start comparing, and God is saying, each one of us, we are welcome here this morning. We are welcome in His presence. Hy ken elkeen van ons. Hy ken ons by naam. En is lief vir ons. En met alles wat ons kom, baie keer dink ons moet nou eers 'n klomp goeders uitsorteer en but He died for sinners. He died for people like us. Each one of us, we can come boldly into His presence. And Lord, we just thank You for that, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we can stand in front of You just as we are, Lord. And we are accepted. Help us, Lord, to follow You. Help us to choose You, Lord, today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can just take your seat. I'm just going to read for us. I'm going to jump the slide to Hebrews 12. I just want to read it. Hebrews 12 verse 1 said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And Lord, we just thank You today, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, as fellow believers, as Your people, as just friends, as family, as people that You just brought here together this morning, Lord. Thank You that You are part of Your plan, Lord. It's not by chance that we are here. And thank You, Father, that we are aware of others that have run before us, other people that have run the race and completed it faithfully, and that we can celebrate them this morning, Lord. We thank You for Your word, Lord, that is full of people that has run hard after You, Lord, that's completed the race. And I pray, Father, for each one of us that we will run strong, that You will help us to run, Lord, and not become weary, not become tired, in Jesus' name, looking unto You. And this morning, Lord, we choose to look unto You. As we sang these songs, Lord, we look unto You, Jesus. And we're calling out to You, Lord, and we're reaching out to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just quickly want to share something also from Hebrews. But I want to start out with just moving forward. I can't believe Standard Bank took it. I was saying it for such a long time. Moving forward, and the next time I see on TV all over, it's Standard Bank slogan. But the question is really, are we moving forward? If we just look at our lives, what we do, there's many things that we can look at and think, okay, so in what area moving forward, there's different dimensions. But I don't want to go into too deep. I just say moving forward. It's just something that I think about a lot. And then I just think, when I hear moving forward, am I moving forward? Am I going somewhere? Or I'm just currently just stuck, just trying to work out life and all the things about life. Because it's so easily to just get distracted. It's so easily that there's this different weights and different distractions, different things coming our way. And things will distract us. Lee and I, we're often just talking and say, okay, so what happened? You can't do that. And there's just all this stuff. And some things are very good, and others are just distractions. Others are just robbing us of our time. And we also, I also always thinking about improving something. Want to get better at work, or you want to run faster, or you want to sort out something at home, or you're seeing things lying around, you want to cut the grass, or just hearing that you must cut the grass, or there's all these things happening, and that is just life. That is life happening. But in all of that, if we look at our lives and what we're doing, are we really moving forward? You know, and what I often think about, if we don't change anything today, we can't expect a different result. If we don't do anything different, things are just going to be the same. Things are going to go on like this. Next year we're going to sit here again. We're going to have another birthday party. And then we're just going the same way if we don't change things. And to start out is usually the most difficult. I like running, but I hate it to start. When I, after Comrades, I laid off for a month or a bit, not running anything, and then just starting again is always difficult. Just, I think most of you will know, just get the system going again. And it can be many areas, many things that we do. Just to get going is sometimes difficult. But once you're in it, then you start getting the rewards, it becomes easier, it becomes more of a habit. And what I just sense God is telling me just this last few weeks, all the time, is spirit, talking more about spiritual fitness. More something that we must be spiritual fit. Because we often say, we all understand you want to get fit, or you want to lose weight, or you want to get better at your work, or all these things that we want to do to move forward. Or we want this, you must just get that, you must just sort out this thing. But at the same time, there's a spiritual fitness. There's a spiritual becoming like Jesus. And now I'm just reflecting on that, and I say it's so easy to get stuck. Where you think, okay, everything is okay, so now we're just going to do this. And we're going to go on until there's another crisis. Then we're going to pray hard, sort it out, phone everyone. And then until it's sorted out, then we can relax a bit, and we go on. And I realize there's so much more that God wants for us. And I actually just want to encourage us to move forward in the Lord, to really search Him, to really connect with the Lord. Because there's so much more that He wants for us, that's in store for us, that's available. It's an incredible journey. Sometimes it's easy to, it all starts out as a, it's almost like honeymoon. Everything is amazing at honeymoon. And then afterwards you get to know one another. That's where you need tall trees. Just to understand one another a little bit better. The temperaments. And you realize, okay, I didn't know that and this thing. But in that, also we learn about ourselves, about our shortcomings, and we become better persons. Because our character change. And we will see that all over. The Israelites in the desert, they were struggling. Life was, well, first in Egypt. They were struggling. Life was difficult, was hard. And it is so clear to see what the Pharaoh did. He just assigned more taskmasters. He just said, just give them more work. He saw that they were getting more and they were flourishing. And they were start to he sense that they're going to become a mighty nation. And he just said, just give them more work. Just keep them busy. And it's almost like the same thing that's happening with us today. We're just getting more things. We're getting more things to do. Life is just getting more busier. And we're just busy. And it's as if God is just coming and say, just come out and worship me again. Just come and worship me. And it was just a cycle of, they went out, they went through the Red Sea, they saw all the miracles, everything that God has done for them, and it is falling back all the time. And they went into this vicious cycle, where Numbers 3:2 says, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, none except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. In 40 years, that's a long time. So they just delayed this. Maybe they thought they were moving forward, but they just moved around. They were just going, maybe they got their midlife crisis, somebody bought a motorbike or something, and they're just going around for years and years and years and think, what's happening? But they had just this disobedience and discontentment of the Lord, falling back all the time. With Joshua and Caleb, it's so beautiful, they say they wholly followed after God. They just followed the Lord with all their hearts. They followed, they ran hard after God. And then God said, okay, they can enter the promised land. They can move in. Because the promise was there for everybody. Everybody had the option of moving into the promised land. Only the two of them went in. And God wants for us to really move into a place of that promised land. And that's going to come when we follow Him. And this morning, I realized that everything, I don't know if you remember that advert of Toyota, everything is going right, Toyota. Remember that? Everything is not so going right all the time. But that's what the world, everything wants us to think, that everything is just going right. Everything is okay. Once we sorted out all the things, once we settled, then everything is okay. Everything is nice, everything is just mediocre, it's okay, nothing too bad, nothing too going too well. But God is just having this, there's so much more in store for us. And the same when we look at the book of Hebrews, I'm just going to read a few scriptures from there. But it's interesting to see that they were also a Christian community. We don't know where they stayed and who wrote the book. Some tried to say that it's Paul, but it's not Paul. Because you will see in the book how they've heard from others about Jesus. Paul heard himself from the Lord. He was a witness there. But it's very interesting to see the book. It's almost written as a sermon and then as encouragement. They say you can read Hebrews in just over an hour. So some of you can see if you can do that. Don't do it now. I know Gustav, if I tell him, see if you can do this, then he's right at it. But it's actually an amazing book. It was just written for this community that were followers of Jesus. And they were Christians, but they were also about just falling back. Just mediocre, just going on with life. And we can learn so much from what the author then writes to this community. And he encouraged them. And it's amazing to see all the references to the Old Testament. Throughout, you will see references to Psalm, references to other books. Throughout, there's a reference to the Old Testament and everything that they know. But when he starts out, he just starts out pointing them to Jesus. No, hello, this is who I am. I'm so excited to write to you guys. He just starts, and he points them to Jesus. And I'm just going to read that for us. He said, Hebrews 1 verse 1, long ago at many times and in many ways God spoken to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And it just continues from there, how amazing Jesus is. And that's where you start. This Jesus. And he almost fixed their attention just on Jesus again. What he has done, who he is, how he created the world. How through him everything is created. Through him, still today, everything is held in place. How he has been exalted to sit next to the Father. How he is still the authority in the world today. And I know these are things that we hear, and I think sometimes we just get used to this. We hear about Jesus and we get used to it, and we don't really understand the power of the name of Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And that Jesus is the answer for every situation, for every trouble. That we can pray in the name of Jesus. I still remember doing deliverance and just speaking to a group of people, and when we saw, every time we say the name of Jesus, something just happened. You just see there's a reaction. I mean, somebody just, they moved around. They didn't want to move around. There was something happened. You can ask me later for more detail. But the thing is, what I realized that day, the name of Jesus is this power in that name. And one night, many years ago, I was just in bed and something was just holding me down. I couldn't do anything. I didn't know what it is. And I just said, Jesus! I just shouted it out. I shouted and shouted a lot of time, and then suddenly I was just free to move again. And that, I don't say it to be spooky or whatever. I just said that is the reality. We serve Almighty God, and He holds everything in His hand. And He's all-powerful. And that made us think about this. The scripture said our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this world. And I really want to encourage you, even if you just remember this, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Just think about maybe when you start following the Lord. What did you do? What did you say? How did you react? And what is happening now? Are we still moving forward? Or did we just relax and you're just now comfortable? Because it's just so amazing to think that there is still that the world that it talks about in the scripture, it's really the universe. It's upholding everything from the beginning to the end of time, not just earth. It's the whole universe and all everything created. It's being upholded by the word of the Lord. And that radiance of the God's glory, the radiance, it's not just a reflection. The moon reflects the light of the sun, but you'll say the sun, there's a radiance of energy and of heat and everything. And that's more what it's talking about. How Jesus is this radiance of God, reflecting who God is, reflecting the nature of God, reflecting the power of God, the Almighty who He is. And John 8 said, Jesus is the light of this world. And then we know that He paid the perfect price. In Hebrews, there's a lot of references to the priests and everything that they were to do and how they made offerings for the people, for their sins and everything. And how Jesus just came as the perfect high priest. And He paid the price and He did what we can't do for ourselves. And it's again something that we hear, that we often hear. But it's something that it must settle in our spirit. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if we just go back to this Hebrews, this community, where the Hebrews were, in Hebrews 2 verse 4, it said, God testified to it by signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those that heard. So that is saying that they heard it from other people. They heard the works that God did, they heard the testimonies, and that's why they're following Jesus. And that is just something that has stood out for me. As we testify, as we tell, others will believe because of our testimony, because of what we've heard, because of what we've experienced, because of what we see. Everyone still with me? Okay, good. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkling clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And he's talking about a hope. He's talking about the hope that we have because of Jesus. He's talking about a hope that we can hope for tomorrow. We can hope for what is to come because of the promises of God. And I just think if maybe you've experienced some of those promises, or obviously there's a lot of promises in the Word that God is giving us about His faithfulness and how He's working in us, how He's giving us plans. God's got a plan for each one of us. Sometimes you will just hear a promise of your sense. God is telling you this is going to happen. This is a promise out of God's hand. And those things we can hold on to. Those things are important that we hold on to those things. Hebrews also said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God. So write down those testimonies. Write down those amazing things that happened, that we can remind ourselves about it. That we don't become slack and think, wow, okay, where's God? And I don't see Him. I don't know what's happening. And we can remind ourselves about those things. Because there's a hope inside of us, a hope that, firstly, that Jesus is coming again. But it is also a hope that helps us to live life, to endure all the stuff that's happening because of Jesus. I really want to encourage you in the week to read Hebrews and take some of these things and what Jesus has done and this hope and just meditate upon it and say, Lord, help me to really make it my own. Help me that I can pull strength from this knowledge of the hope that is in Jesus. And almost get a... just start moving forward. Get that confidence in Jesus. Not confidence in ourselves or in our circumstances and in what I can do, but a confidence in Jesus. Because the moment we start looking at our circumstances and we look at what we can do, then I just get depressed. Because it's often there's a lot of challenges and we are only here. I think, but this is what I still want to do, but I can only do this. This is what I think must happen, but I'm here. I can't do those things. But when we understand the hope that's in Jesus, the one that gives us life, the one that gives us a hope to live, then we can face each day. Then you can run the race. And we can move forward. And also, it continues. That hope is really, it becomes something visible. becomes something that we can see. It determines how we live, how we act, how we make decisions because of the hope in Jesus. And then it just continues. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So often we'll just say love one another and do good things. But it's actually saying consider how to stir up one another. Consider how to do this. In the original, when it says consider the Lord, consider Jesus, it means you think about Him, you pray about the Lord, you focus on Him, you think how you can exalt Him, all of that. And the same way they used to consider how to stir up, they consider one another. They use it almost in the same way. That we must think, what can I do that someone else will also do good things? What can I do that you guys will love other people? It's just a different angle on something that we hear so often. How can we help one another? And then it says, one of the things that we can help one another is just by coming together. By coming together and encourage one another. Hebrews 10 verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another in all the time as you see the day drawing near. And that's just the key, I believe. As we come together, we talk a lot about community and all these things. As we share the hope that is in us, as we share what God has done for us, we come together and we encourage one another. It's amazing. I like running marathons because there's always ones that's people in the front, there's people in the back. So if you need some motivation, you say, okay, I just want to get there. If you feel bad, you just look behind. But this, everybody helps one another. And it helps so much to come together. The one thing is when we isolate ourselves, we're in for danger. We're not lone rangers. And I just know that. You isolate yourself for a long time, it's almost like normal things just get difficult. And I really want to encourage us. This is a key that the writer is writing to the Hebrews, to this community. He said, come on guys, you've experienced some persecution. They've experienced some of that. And now he's just saying, come together and encourage one another. Help one another to love one another and to do these good deeds. And this is what I think is also relevant for us today as we come together. And then it's also a time where we share the hope that it's in us. Because sometimes you will just be encouraged, you've got a word from the Lord and you share it and you encourage someone else. Or someone else got a word for someone. And we all come together, we all bring different gifts, different personalities, everything. And the puzzle just comes complete. And God is glorified in and through that. And this is not talking about small groups and formal things. This is just a coming together. It can be social and anything. Just a coming together. Encourage one another. And even this group, the Hebrews, the writer writes to them in Hebrews 10, he says, remember the former days when you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. And he continues in verse 34, he said, some of you were imprisoned. And you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. They were able to visit people of their community in prison, even though the guy said, you're going to lose property or bad things are going to happen to you. when you do these things. They still will prepare to do it because they know that their hope is in the Lord. Their hope is in Jesus. They can do things that the people is telling them, don't do it, or don't go there, or don't say this. It's not clever, you're going to lose this. If you do that, you're going to get opposition. And they said, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in these earthly things. And that's why we can go and we can support our brothers in prison. We can do all these things. Because they know that they have a great reward. There's a great reward. And then we get to Hebrews 11. I'm going to end off with this piece. And it says, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Just talking about all the people running with faith, running strong, and they didn't see the things that they were running for. They didn't get the reward, but they all had the hope, a strong hope in Jesus, a strong hope in what's to come. And it's easy for us to get distracted by this world and the weight of this world and sin. And it's to think that this is it. If this is not working, if my life is not working, then this is it. But these guys all understand their hope is in the Lord and there's a greater reward coming. And it continues, Hebrews 12, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Let us run together. And it's really for me, this morning, I just sense that there's either the weight, almost like distractions, things that's pulling us down, or sometimes it's just sin that we are battling with. Things that's pulling us down, things that's making it difficult to run. And when Jesus has come, he's the perfect example. And it's really something that we must think about, how he became man and he endured everything on this earth. Meaning the troubles, the temptations, all those things. Yet without sin. So that is encouraging. That's an encouragement. And then the hope that is in us because of Jesus. And I know life is hard. And there's a lot of circumstances, there's a lot of things happening. And today I want to encourage us to as we run together, that we will also look out for one another. And sometimes just be honest, but I'm struggling with this. Can you help me here? I see that that's a great thing. Encouraging one another, stirring up each other's faith, running together to complete the race, to run strong. I'm excited about God, what God is doing in us and through us and how he's bringing us together and everyone that's coming here. And I know God has a plan for us as a church. He's doing great things. He's busy. God brought just the conference that's coming to Century City. All these things, it's almost like he's just highlighting Century City at this time. So let us stand. Yeah, you can play. This morning, maybe you just lost your hope. the hope that's in Jesus. Maybe you're standing here and you hear these things and you've known they've heard it before, and there were a time where you were very excited about the Lord, and even maybe you responded to God, but now at this stage you just lost that hope. You lost that fire. Then I just want to, we can just pray together this morning for that passion again, for that hope that's in Jesus. And maybe you're just aware of weights of sin or things that's pulling you down or distracting you in falling hard after Jesus. Max.